morning. This is Lance Kenmore with the Kenmore team, and I'd like to welcome you to this week's edition of the Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We're here every Saturday morning right here on News Talk 870. As always, you can contact me, Lance Kenmore, anytime direct on my cell phone at 727-8977 or visit us on the web at kenmoreteam.com. Once again, I always like to thank John for hosting and everybody here at the station for working to make this happen. John, how are you?
Well, it's amazing how time flies.
Yes, it is. I mean, are you kidding me? You know, into May already?
We've only got 6 baseball games left for my son, and it seems like yesterday we just started.
I remember we were just wrapping up hockey season and talking about starting baseball, and here we are wrapping it up. And, I mean, to think that really kids will be – I mean, it's not too long, and we're looking towards out of school. I mean, yeah, I don't mean to scare everybody, but – this is also, speaking of that time frame, this is a big real estate month. Mm-hmm. What we end up finding is a lot of folks right now are looking to make a decision because they like to move their kids and get their family settled once school gets out and then during the summer so that they know where they're going to be going to school. And so this month, the next 45 to 60 days as we finish off this month in the first part of June, there's a lot of people out there looking to make a change and make big decisions. So we see a lot of inventory come on. We see a lot of buyer activity. So speaking of that timing, McKay, it's going to be busy.
Yes.
We always like to start off the show. Well, before we get to our crazy real estate segment, I also want to let everybody know we have a new guest here in the studio with us. We have, for the first time on the show, Mr. Joe Peterson with Joe Peterson Insurance. I've heard the commercials, but welcome to the show.
The Noah's Ark ones.
Good morning, Lance.
Yeah, thanks for coming in. We appreciate having you, and we're gonna pummel you with some questions when we get a little further on down here.
Excellent. I was hoping I could get in on that baseball thing since my son threw a two-hitter at Giesa Stadium last night, but...
I love that. Ooh. That's perfect. Very, very nice. Very a family man, and I like it. With some proud dads in here for sure. Well, we always like to start off with our crazy real estate celebrity story and kind of relate that to our local market if we possibly can. Usually the numbers have a lot more zeros in them, but we see what we can do. Well, here's a name that people know. Barry Manilow, yes, is back in the real estate game. And he came back on with a more realistic price. So he recently listed one of those beautiful Malibu homes right on the ocean, you know, overlooking the ocean. And it came on at $6.9 million. And that's a pretty steep price drop. He actually started in 2009 at $10.9 million. So we're talking a $4 million price drop, and the house is amazing. If you look at the pictures online and stuff, it really is, I mean, fantastic when you look at those views and stuff. So it's interesting how the article was written. We grabbed this off of Zillow. I love how the last line of the article says, it's not the Copacabana, but it's a pretty sweet spot. Now at a pretty reasonable price.
Reasonable. Okay, whose world are we in now?
Exactly.
Sure, I got $7 million. I'll go drop it on Barry Manilow's house.
There you go. Well, invite me to stay over when you do that, McKay. I'm looking forward to it. So it's really interesting that you know, if they want to move those properties, obviously they're going to. They've had to do some price drops. It's definitely a little different game than they were looking at in 2009. One of the things that I get the most and that we're really getting right now, this time of year, and it came up 2 or 3 times this week. So I always like to take those real life scenarios from what's happening right now and how we do that. And I got the question a lot this week. How do you price homes? How did you come up with that price? You know, I'm considering selling. We might not sell till next year. Can you come out and take a look at our house? And then tell us exactly how that process works. So people ask me this all the time, and so I thought it was worthy of definitely delving into on the show here because it's a huge part of our job, and it's really not something that I take lightly. In fact, I would say at most times that's kind of the biggest part of my job and certainly can be the most important, and that is what can we do to position that house properly on the market the first time? And so really kind of our pricing strategy and how we do that is really important. So, to kind of put it in perspective, I wrote down kind of 6 points that we follow when we do that. And the first one, to give you a visualization of how we work to that price, and we go through a lot of data. We look at a lot of homes. We, if we have questions, we'll physically drive out to those other homes, even the sold ones, and see if we can talk to the neighbors or get an idea for what it was. But I picture it like a big funnel.
Okay.
And what we do is we start at the top of that funnel with the market as a whole. What, you know, where is the Tri-Cities and what is going on? So kind of a macro viewpoint at the top of that funnel. And then as we come down, we might say, okay, now we've got Kennewick, Richland, Pasco. And we might go to a city portion of that funnel as we go down and say, okay, have things been selling better in this area or better in this city? Have there been, impact fees like we've talked about that have caused prices to go up here. So we look at those trends then based on and see if there were city issues affecting price. And then from there we might go down to the neighborhood and then say, okay, what exactly is happening in this neighborhood? Are more people moving out? Are more moving back in? Has it matured? And then we'll look at that. And then if we can, we will actually get down to even the best is a street comparable. So now on this street in that neighborhood, how close of a comparable can we get? And of course, an ideal situation would say, for instance, if you were, say you're in West Pasco, because it's easy to compare out there, and, you know, the same builder has built 40 of the same model of houses. Well, the best comparable would be when you went to price one house that was a three bedroom, two bath with a two car garage. If within, within a quarter mile, you found two or three other three-bedroom, two-baths with a two-car garage. And that would be, you know, an ideal situation where you could really get down to an exact price. So we're working that funnel from top to bottom and in each layer making an analysis of what's happened at those layers and then getting down to the bottom of that funnel where we would could spit out the three or four best sold comparables that we can use to analyze your house. And what we're doing in a lot of senses is we're acting like an appraiser would. I mean, I know that at some point when that house goes under contract, we're not only going to have to answer to the bank, but we're going to have to answer to the appraiser that it's worth the value that was stated so they can get a loan on it. So we try to act as much as like an appraiser as we can on the front end of things. We don't get quite as detailed with their adjustments and all of their credits. And, that,
and you don't crawl under houses.
And that is a whole other profession. Exactly. I don't crawl under a lot of houses. But I'd leave that to the home inspectors and some of the appraisers for sure. And that's more the home inspector than it is the appraiser. But occasionally the appraisers will be there looking for tie downs and stuff in different situations. So those are kind of the first big 3 points that I wrote down about pricing. We're going to then talk about after the break, we're going to talk a little bit more about then the next 3 points of how I take that funnel data and where we analyze it from there and move into a process that I say a lot of times is 80 to 85% scientific, and then we have to talk about that 15% that's artistic. How, you know, and that's going to come into play when we start talking about view and location and orientation of the house. Some of those items that can make a house sell for more, but it's difficult to put a dollar value on up front. So I'd like to welcome on another subject. We've got a great new guest, and we are gonna. If he makes it through today, we might even make this a monthly regular. So we've got Mr. Joe Peterson with us. Joe, tell us a little bit about your company, where you're located.
Well, right next to you, Lance.
I love it.
In fact, we're in Kennewick, right behind Dr. Hoff's building, near Costco. We've been in business 9 years. April Fool's Day this year, we turned 9 years. Started that just in case it didn't work out. I could blame it on the date.
Okay.
So, anyway, I've been in the business 13 years, but between the staff and I, we have, well, going on 75 years worth of experience in the insurance business. So we've got plenty of experienced agents to help people out with that need.
Well, that's fabulous. And you have two offices, right? So you've got the one beside me in Kennewick and then another one?
Yep. I just recently moved. I had an office in Richland over off the bypass highway. I'm now located at 790 Jadwin in the CSA building also. So there's a second location that people can meet us at in North Richland if our Costco location isn't to their liking.
Excellent. Perfect. That is great. Well, how'd you get into the insurance business?
Accidental. I wanted to be a stockbroker. I got my licenses, and then a headhunter found me, and the rest is history.
Okay, well, perfect. Well, we always like to, as we bring on new folks, and for the people that don't know you, tell me a little bit, how'd you end up in Tri-Cities?
20 years ago, I was a wholesaler for a sporting goods company. I sold hunting and fishing supplies. They asked me if I wanted to move to the Northwest. I said, absolutely. Over that hill, Horse Heaven Hills from Hermiston, I went, oh, my. What happened to the Evergreen State? So, yeah, the first year was a little rough, but I can tell you our roots are firmly grounded here now. That gig came to a screeching halt, and wanted to be a stockbroker, so I set off to get my licenses, and I got part of them, and then a headhunter found me from Pemco, and I worked for them for 5 years, and did a pretty good job for them, so they said, hey, how about you start your own independent agency? And so now we represent Pemco. We also represent quite a few other preferred companies.
Excellent. Well, that's great. And you said we heard you mention your son with baseball, so kids?
Yeah, I just sent my oldest, 18-year-old Jacob, off to college this year, so he's coming home Friday, having finished his first year of college in the chemical engineering program over at WSU. Got a junior at Liberty Christian. He's the baseball player. He tossed I think it was a two-hitter. Don't quote me on that, radio. But anyway, they won 8-2, and according to him, they only scored the two in the first inning, and they were on errors. So we'll see about that. And then
I love it.
My daughter also goes to Liberty Christian, where my wife also happens to work at. She's a teacher there, fifth, sixth grade math teacher. And my daughter threw a no-hitter earlier this season, I think against Prep as well. Which she's a ninth grader, but she pitches on the varsity team. So.
Wow. Well, excellent. So you do have roots everywhere around here. That's fabulous. And I like that story you told about coming over the hill and wondering, oh my gosh, where am I? And it's funny, in real estate, we get that a lot from folks and spouses as we relocate people. And almost every one of those folks, it ends up, I talk to those folks, you know, a year later on their anniversary of when they've moved into their house, or where we see them out and about town. And it seems like once you make it that first year, I don't know what the percentages are, if anybody's done a study or a survey on it. I should probably start one so I have the data. But it seems like you make it that first year, I think there's a good likelihood you're in Tri-Cities for the long haul.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. It's just a great place to be. Well, we are always trying to provide value kind of to our homeowners, and you know, and what we've got, something needs protection, and that's one of their biggest assets, and that's their house.
Absolutely.
And so we always like to kind of get the opinion of how's that process look with you? I've sold somebody a house, they're under contract, they're going to need to get insurance on that house, the bank's going to require it. And so I send them over to talk to Joe, and what does that process look like from that point?
Well, we have the advantage that we're an independent insurance agent. So unlike some agents who have to work for a particular company, we have Pemco and Safeco and Liberty Northwest and many other companies that we can place the risk with. So depending on the risk and also the client, we can find policies that are a right fit for them. It's really, you know, we like to get to know people, so we'd prefer to spend a little more time with them, but it really only takes, you know, 15 minutes to a half hour in our office to really get to know somebody, kind of go through the personal stuff that we have to ask them. Unfortunately, these days you have to ask a lot of personal questions about Social Security numbers and longevity at work and their address history as well, even college. Sometimes there are some companies give credits for how much college they have in with their degrees. And, you know, a lot of it comes down to rate, but we make sure that the risk is covered as well as we can. And then we take a look at the rate secondarily, but you know, that's always going to be the driving force behind their decision, is how much we're going to charge them.
Right. And then comparing that with, making sure the risk is covered,
mm-hmm.
and that they've got the coverage they need.
Yeah, one of the things I don't know how many people are listening, but one of the things I do think is a big advantage for us is we write all of our policies on an open peril, all risk basis. So It's a very complex, and that one could take that whole half hour in itself. But
yeah, I was going to say there's like three words in there I might not even know.
A lot of our a lot of our competitors are at a disadvantage in that they do not even aren't able to offer that, especially on the contents of the home, but in some cases even on the dwelling itself. So it's a real advantage for us. All of our policies are written that way. An example of that would be somebody losing something. A diamond falls out of a ring setting. Well, on a name peril basis, which is what some companies offer, that is not going to be covered because it's not listed in the policy. On an open peril policy, because it's not specifically excluded, that actually would be covered up to the limit of the jewelry.
Oh, perfect.
Open peril, meaning it's got a lot broader, flexible.
Good. I'm glad, McKay, that he's bringing it
McKay,
down to our level.
If you need another job.
Because I was going to ask him for an example, because when he finished there, before he gave the example, I was still over here trying to figure out what that meant. And so I'm glad that makes a lot of sense. Yeah, and that is a great example for sure. Well, we are going to take Joe and we're going to grill him on some more questions like that, get a couple tips from him. After the break, we're coming up against our first hard break, and we will be right back.
You're on News Talk 870.
Tri-Cities Real Estate Update. We've been here talking with Mr. Joe Peterson about some insurance issues and talking a little bit about pricing. We always like to get in a little update with how the money is looking. So we got Mr. Mike Denslow here with Wells Fargo. Mike, what's been going on?
Yeah, Lance, things are going really well. Continuing on the same theme from the last several weeks is that rates are at historically low numbers. And continuing on, I guess, with my education of the listeners is down payments programs, low down payments, those kind of things. There's a lot of people out there, first-time home buyers, that are thinking, oh, yeah, well, I've been told 20% down, that kind of thing. And, there's just so many more options than that. So I wanted to go into, conventional loans, government loans, special programs that Wells Fargo has, so that people weren't worried or sitting around thinking that they had to get all the way to 20%. So first off, you've got an FHA loan, which is a 3.5% down. FHA stands for Federal Housing Authority. It is designed for a first-time home buyer, but you don't have to be a first-time home buyer. That 3.5% down can be a gift from a relative. We can work with the local down payment assistance that is available here in Tri-Cities for the different cities, and work on that down payment. And those rates are, like I said, amazing right now. You've got VA loans. If you're a veteran, you can look into your VA eligibility. That is a zero down loan. Mm. I've got plenty of them going right now, and we know a lot about them here on my team. Conventional loans, this is a 5% down minimum. It's a little bit different. The PMI is a little bit less than on the FHA, but still very possible to do. Then we have a program called the Community Development Mortgage Program, which is designed for low to moderate income customers, and that is a 2% down loan. It's something that Wells Fargo keeps in-house. It does have some income and debt qualifying guidelines, but it's something that's kind of the tweener in between an FHA loan and if you can't come up with the FHA, the 3.5% down, and you don't make a considerable amount of money, you can fit under that guideline. This is to meet the needs of those people that are trying and saving and doing a good job with it, but we can get them in with 2% down. And no PMI on that one, too. Mm-hmm. So if people qualify for that, we're definitely going to be recommending that because it's an amazing program. But I guess what I'm getting at mainly is there are so many programs out there to help, low down payment. And I don't want people thinking that, oh, I can't get into this house because I don't have enough money saved. Doesn't mean you can't call, check in, say, okay, well, I'm paying this much in rent right now. I can handle a payment of this much. We can really back into what your budget is. We can set up a program and say, all right, you need to save this amount of money. We can negotiate, you know, I can give you tips and, you know, you can work with Lance on, you know, negotiating closing costs and all those kind of things. And it really comes down to there's a ton of options. So I always recommend people call. We can talk about those things, you know, calling, pre-approving, all those kind of things is free. So definitely don't need to, you know, be concerned with that. I work with a lot of first-time home buyers, and I work with a lot of people buying new construction. That's really hot right now, the spring, good weather, a lot of things coming out of the ground. So I just recommend people call if they're looking at buying, refinancing, building. That's the general theme of my little segments, I realize. but it's Mike Denzel, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage. Our office is right next to the Department of Licensing on Clearwater, 3311 West Clearwater. My direct line is 736-2621. Cell number 531-9507. And as always, Wells Fargo Home Mortgage is the division of Wells Fargo Bank, N.A., equal housing lender, and thanks for the time.
Thanks a lot, Mike. We really appreciate that update. And so what we talked about prior to the break is we talked a little bit about pricing. We talked about the funnel, how we're starting with big markets, kind of funneling that down to neighborhoods and streets if we possibly can. Now, what that happens is we get down to what we believe is the best three or four sold comparables. We really start to look at the amenities. And similar to an appraiser would, we start to see, okay, did that one have a pool? How long was it on the market? Mm-hmm. Did that one back up to a busy street? And here's where when we narrow it down to the best, what we believe three or four solds are, sometimes it's necessary to take a drive. You can't always tell from MLS data. Go buy a couple houses and really get a feel for, you know, was there something we couldn't see from the data and really make a visit and get a great idea for the actual physical site and what things look like. Mm-hmm. So that can really help us make those adjustments at the end because, you know, a swimming pool or an extra shop in the backyard or
an RV slab or something.
RV slab or maybe backing up to a busy street. That helps us kind of make our final adjustments to where we really feel that price is based upon those sold comparables. And then that's not it, McKay. There's of course, always a little bit more. And what we've got to do then when we feel like we're in that range of price, you know, within $5,000, $6,000 of where we think things are going to be, then it's a matter of now saying, okay, at that price, what does our competition look like? And we talked a little bit about that last week, how kind of the best thing to possibly do is then take that price point and go look at three or four other active homes that are out there. Because we know that the buyers, they know what's available. In today's information age and all the websites that we put it on with the other great real estate agents out there in town, knowing the inventory and knowing what's there, they're getting great advice from their realtors also. And so they're going to know the other four or five to look at. So what we can do then is when we feel we're close, we can go look at those three, four, five, six homes that really match up in our competition and then decide where we want to be in that competition. Because it is, there are choices. The consumer is making a choice. They have X amount of dollars to spend and they're making a choice between, you know, A, B, C, or D. And we're going to have to try to figure out if we offer more features and benefits than A, B, C, or D, or if we're pricing that into our pricing. And so that process really helps us narrow down where our initial market price should be at. And that's really a huge, huge important piece of the puzzle.
Well, so, and it's important too, because if the house, isn't there a perception that if the house goes back on the market again, there's like something wrong, you know, you want to stay away from that.
Well, it is. And it's once again, that's buyer's education. And I'll tell you what, from showing a lot of buyers for a lot of years, a lot of houses, they always have two questions when we walk in the door and they really like it. Question number one is, what was the price again? Because that's important. Mm-hmm. And then as soon as that question's answered, question number two, without fail, is always, how long has it been on the market? You know, and so consumers are aware of that. And there are factors, you know, there are days, and it's not a magic number. It's kind of a moving target, you know. But if something has been listed for 3 years and hasn't sold, you know, there's probably a problem somewhere. and so if something's been listed for 3 years and hasn't sold, the consumer is probably going to be a lot less likely to make a full price offer.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sure you wouldn't, McKay, if that was the case.
No. Well, you'd have to think, okay, all these other people have looked at it. Is there like something, and is there like a moat in the basement or something, you know?
It definitely. And so you're kind of looking for that factor, you know, was it unique? Was it location? Where are we at? And trying to figure out what you can do to make that factor work. So that is, in a nutshell, the process, and I wish it was always that simple. We did talk about there being, and that's where those site visits come into play. We did talk about there being that, you know, 80 to 85% scientific and maybe 15% artistic, because sometimes there is just an amazing location, the best location, or you're on the river, and or you've just, it's the best maintained home that's ever been in the Tri-Cities. You know, it looks brand new. So there are factors sometimes that definitely warrant an artistic adjustment of that condition. Mm-hmm. And so that is that is why it is a moving target sometimes, and that's why we spend a lot of time trying to get it right. So we are not finished with you, Mr. Peterson, on the insurance side. You know, one of the questions that I always get when people talk to me or ask me about their policies, or, you know, what's covered and what's not covered, it seems like a lot of times, and I'd be guilty of this had I not done a review with our insurance agent so I knew, a lot of times when you have, you know, 8, 10, 20 pages in a policy, I don't know what's in there. I mean, how do we know what's in those policies? And I assume that's part of this meeting you talked about, but it's hard to know, right?
You know, actually, very few people, it'd be less than 1%, actually go through the entire process of reading through a insurance policy with us. I'm sure, being that we're in engineer land, a few read them when they go home, but this is where I think, just like with real estate, a trust level has to be there. You have to earn their trust and up front, and then they trust you on it. To that end, I think the way I've always explained it, and I kind of like to break things down into layman's terms, when you buy those policies we were talking about earlier that are open peril, you basically have any sudden and accidental loss covered unless it's in the exclusions page. And there are four main ones. Earthquake is a separate policy in itself. Flood is the same.
Mm-hmm.
Intentionally damaging your home, although surprisingly enough, there are cases where intentional damage is covered. It's a whole other conversation, but if there's...
it's a whole other show.
Yeah, it is another show, but you can't intentionally damage your if it's in the middle of a domestic dispute. And then one of the most difficult to explain is ordinance or law. That's the other big, you know, the big main one, and that would be, you know, it could be a myriad of things, but say the government says, you know, we need to widen the street, and therefore your house needs to go. We're, the insurance company is saying, we're not paying for that. You'll have to talk to the city about that.
Right, exactly. Mm-hmm.
So, but, yeah, knowing that you have an open peril policy, and most policies on the dwelling itself would be open peril. It's where the contents are generally not, except in our case. You have that situation where lost my train of thought. You'll have to cut that piece out.
not a chance, mister. Your first show. We want you to be real here.
Oh, that's
so one of the things that I get on top of that is people ask me sometimes is there anything I should be really paying attention to, or is there a clause that is sometime missed? Say it's water damage or something. Is there one or two clauses that you say, gosh, I wish everybody out there knew about this or knew to ask this question, because I've seen it, you know, hurt people before?
I would say no. Mostly people in my industry are very knowledgeable and very upfront. That being said, I do think that the open peril thing, this is going to be the open peril insurance show eventually here. But I think that that is something to bring up because that is the biggest difference between one and the other.
Right.
You know, 99% of the people out there have a preferred risk policy from a company that's going to look to pay their claim. You know, you have some, the customer has some duties too. They need to take care of their property and things like that. But they're very broad. You'd be, it's always surprising what is paid for. I remember, if you have time for a story, I remember one of the, you know, 13 years ago, brand new agent, I'd written a policy for a family, and the summer went by, and they went out to clean the hard water off their windows, and Dad handed out a bunch of Brillo pads, and they all took aside and washed, and then he came around and rinsed them off, and they couldn't see through their windows anymore, and they called me and said, "Hey, is that covered?" And I'm like, oh. And anyway, I called the company, and doggone, it's open peril. Yeah, it's not excluded unless they had gone out and intentionally said, "Well, let's wreck our windows," which is not provable. So,
right.
Yeah, it's very broad. You know, there are huge things that can happen.
Well, that's a great example. And, you know, we've had Jason Klavansky with Sparkly Clean Windows on the show, and I'm going to tell him that story later this week because that is a great example.
That's enough to make him fall off his ladder right there.
Professional window cleaner. That is a great example. And I think another great thing about that story is that having somebody local to call and ask that questions for, mm-hmm. you know, and I think that's huge. And one of the things, you know, that I really like about, your office is, and I saw this happen one day and I couldn't believe it happened. And so I've got a little story about your crew and your office is one day we were expected to have a huge windstorm. And I walked over to your office and you were just calling through your client list saying, "Hey, there's supposed to be 80 mile an hour winds tonight. If you guys need us, know we're here. Hope everything's going great." And so just like a reminder like that, I just don't think you're going to get, I just don't think you're going to get over the internet. So having that local presence, knowing what's going on in the community, I can appreciate that. And thanks a lot for being here. We're going to talk about a little property. I always finish off with kind of a pick three if I can.
Mm-hmm.
How can people, before we wrap up with you, Joe, tell me, how can people get a hold of you if they need to ask you some of these questions?
I bantered about whether I should put my phone number or my website, but it's on the website, so just go to joepetersoninsurance.com.
joepetersoninsurance.com. Okay, sounds great. Well, thanks again for being here, and I don't know, McKay, I think we should have him back next month. He did pretty good.
That was entertaining. Very, very good job.
Excellent. Well, let's wrap up with some new inventory. It is a real estate show, mm-hmm. and there is some amazing real estate out there. Three brand new listings that are phenomenal. I love this time of year. I love how much inventory comes on. So number one, this is one of those neighborhoods everybody's looking for and trying to get into, and that's Kennewick Park up there, mm-hmm. kind of above the mall there. And you're looking at a three-bedroom, two-bath Rambler on a huge oversized lot. I mean, huge oversized backyard, 1,632 square feet, big bright living room, and a family room that has raised ceilings with a fireplace, ooh. Newer appliances in the kitchen, new furnace, a great garden area, and just great landscaping in Kennewick Park, and you're going to get that at $174,900.
Wow.
So, I mean, those three-bedroom, two-bath Ramblers up there in Kennewick Park, they are very popular, and they usually go very quickly. So that would be one you'd want to jump on. Another fantastic deal. This is in this neighborhood. This is an entry level price point. So we're going to talk about Cottonwood Springs out in Badger Canyon. Mm-hmm. A lot of people don't think you can get into Cottonwood Springs for under $300,000, but we have a great opportunity for somebody to do that. Fantastic deal. Just about 3/4 acre. Beautiful yard. Tile floors in this house. Updated flooring in the living room and the family room, dining room, and a bonus room with skylights. Great, great floor plan. And we're talking 2,617 square feet, couple years old, $290,000. So we're coming in under that $300,000 price point for Cottonwood Springs. This is definitely one you want to check out if you've thought about moving out to that neighborhood. Seems like the theme is large lots this week, okay? And so I've got another amazing house that's on over about a half an acre. And this is a 5-bedroom, 2.5-bath Rambler with basement, 3,200 square feet. Mm. You've got living room, fireplace, kitchen has access to the patio, tons of space and storage in the basement, fresh paint job on the exterior of the house, and you're going to get all this over 3,200 square feet. This is at 3008 Jean Street in Kennewick, so that's off of 27th by Yokes up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we're pricing that at $225,000. So great, great, fabulous, well-kept home, and just in a great established neighborhood. It's really kind of gives you that elbow room that people have been looking for. So
mm-hmm.
that's our new inventory this week. We're super excited about that. I'd like to thank Mike and Joe for being here and being on the show. Thanks again for making it a great show this week. And we are going to go out and work on selling some property, and then we'll be back here next week.
Right here on News Talk 870.